12. Marcy stood trembling on her side of the door. She felt her knees go loose and managed to make it to the bench near the door where people sat when they took off boots or muddy shoes. Upstairs, the beetle who had been murdered was singing about all the things he was going to do when he got home. Marcy looked at the cigarette between her fingers as if unsure how it had gotten there, then snapped it in two and slipped the pieces into the pocket of the robe she was wearing. It was indeed Terry's. At least he saved me from starting up that shit again, she thought. Maybe I should write him a thank you note. The nerve of him, coming to her door after taking a wrecking bar to her family and flailing around with it until all was in ruins. The pure, cruel, in-your-face nerve of it. Only, if he didn't, whoever did is still out there. And how was she supposed to handle that when she couldn't even find the strength to go on WebMD and find out how long the first stage of grief lasted? And why was she supposed to do anything? How was it her responsibility? The police had gotten the wrong man and stubbornly persisted even after checking Terry's alibi and finding it as solid as Gibraltar. Let them find the right one, if they had the guts to do so. Her job was to get through today without going insane. And then, in some future that was hard to contemplate, figure out what came next in her life. Was she supposed to live here, when half the town believed the man who had assassinated her husband was doing God's work? Was she supposed to condemn her daughters to those cannibal societies known as middle school and high school, where even wearing the wrong sneakers could get you ridiculed and ostracized? Sending Anderson away was the right thing. I cannot have him in my house. Yes, I heard the honesty in his voice. At least I think I did. But how can I, after what he did? If he didn't, whoever did. Shut up, she whispered to herself. Just shut up, please, shut up. He's still out there. And what if he did it again?